Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something super interesting. How to measure the impact of, well, pretty much anything, your investments, businesses, you name it.
Yeah, we're going beyond just looking at the financial bottom line.
Exactly. We're talking about impact measurement and management, or IMM for short. And to guide our deep dive, we're using the Impact Guidelines version 2. Have you had a chance to check it out?
Definitely. It's a great resource. Really practical and packed with real-world examples.
Okay, so what's the big idea here? Why should people care about measuring impact?
It's about figuring out if we're actually making a positive difference in the world. Are we just making money? Or are we also contributing to a better future?
Right. It's about those social and environmental ripples, those things that traditional financial statements don't always capture.
Exactly. It's about understanding the full picture of the effects of our actions.
I love that. So for someone who's completely new to this, where do they even begin? What's the first step in measuring impact?
Well, the Impact Guidelines lay out a really clear framework. It starts with understanding your goals. What kind of change are you hoping to create?
Okay, so it's not just about collecting data for the sake of it. You need to have a clear purpose in mind.
Exactly. And you need to know who you're trying to impact.
Yeah.
Who are your stakeholders?
Stakeholders, right. That includes everyone who's affected by your actions, customers, employees, the community, the environment.
It's about taking a holistic view.
I see. So you define your goals, identify your stakeholders, what comes next?
Well, that's where the IMPIC Rater framework comes in. It outlines four key phases for measuring and managing impact.
I'm all ears. Tell me more about this framework.
Okay, so the first phase is called assessment and strategy. It's all about laying the groundwork.
Sounds like a crucial first step. What does that involve?
It's about defining the scope of your impact. What are you trying to achieve and how are you going to measure it?
Okay, so it's about setting clear, measurable goals. But how do you choose the right metrics? That can feel overwhelming.
The guidelines provide some helpful tips on that. They talk about aligning your metrics with your overall mission and making sure they're relevant to your stakeholders.
So it's about measuring what truly matters, not just chasing vanity metrics.
Exactly. And the assessment phase also involves identifying potential risks and unintended consequences.
That's important. You don't want to create a solution that inadvertently causes more harm than good.
Right. You need to think about both the positive and negative impacts of your actions.
Now, this makes me think about something mentioned in the guidelines, dynamic double materiality. What does that even mean?
It sounds complicated, but it's actually a pretty simple concept. Double materiality means you need to consider two perspectives, how your actions affect the world and how the world affects you.
Okay, I'm starting to get it. So it's not just about the impact you're having on the environment or society, but also about how those factors might impact your business or investments.
Exactly. For example, climate change could pose a risk to your supply chain, so you need to factor that into your decision making.
So it's about understanding the interconnectedness of things. And what about the dynamic part? What does that add to the equation?
It highlights that this relationship between your business and the world is constantly changing. What's material today might not be material tomorrow.
So you can't just do a one-time assessment and call it a day.
Nope. You need to be adaptable and regularly review your assumptions and strategies.
It's a continuous process of learning and adjusting. Okay, so you've laid the groundwork, you've identified your goals, and you've considered the broader context. What's next in this impact measurement journey?
That's where phase two comes in, operations and early measurement.
Ah, so now we're actually putting the plan into action.
Exactly. It's all about getting those projects off the ground and starting to collect some real data.
So we're moving from theory to practice. What kinds of things are we measuring in this phase?
It really depends on your goals and the specific project. But it's all about looking for those early signs that you're on the right track.
Okay, so we're looking for those initial indicators of progress. But how do we know if we're collecting the right data? What if we're missing something crucial?
That's where feedback loops come in.
Feedback loops, right. The guidelines mention those. Can you remind me what they are and why they're so important?
Sure. A feedback loop is basically a system for getting information flowing between different parts of a project.
Okay, so it's about making sure everyone is on the same page and that information is being shared effectively.
Exactly. And feedback loops can be positive or negative.
Positive or negative. What does that mean?
A positive feedback loop shows that something is working well. It reinforces those successful strategies.
Got it. So if we see that a certain approach is having a positive impact, a positive feedback loop would encourage us to do more of that.
Exactly. And a negative feedback loop highlights areas where we need to adjust course.
So if we're seeing unintended consequences or things aren't working as planned, a negative feedback loop would flag that so we can make changes.
That's the idea. Feedback loops are all about learning and adapting.
I see. So it's not about setting a rigid plan and sticking to it no matter what. It's about being flexible and responsive to the information we're gathering.
Exactly. And the impact guidelines provide some really helpful examples of how feedback loops can be used in practice.
Okay, let's dive into some of those examples. I always find it easier to understand these concepts when we can see them in action. Where should we start?
How about we start with Argos with you?
Argos with you. Okay, tell me more about them.
They're a European investment firm that's really focused on decarbonizing businesses. They actually have a special fund dedicated to helping small and medium-sized enterprises reduce their carbon footprint.
Wow, that's impressive. So they're putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to sustainability, but how do they actually measure the impact of their investments? How do they know if they're making a difference?
They've developed a carbon index to track the progress of the businesses they invest in. It's like a scorecard for how well those businesses are doing in terms of reducing their carbon emissions.
I see. So it's a way to quantify something that can be difficult to measure. And do they have any incentives in place to encourage those businesses to improve their scores?
They do. Here's the cool part. They link a portion of their profits to hitting their carbon reduction targets.
That's brilliant. So they're not just talking about sustainability. They're actually putting their own financial success on the line.
Exactly. And it's not just about the environmental impact either. They also consider the social implications of their investments.
Okay, like what? What are some of the social factors they're looking at?
Things like job creation, community development, and fair labor practices. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure their investments are having a positive impact on people as well as the planet.
It's a holistic approach, considering all those different facets of impact. Okay, let's move on to another case study. What about Three Hills Impact? They caught my eye because they seem to have impact baked into their DNA from day one.
You're right. They're an investment house, but they're super proactive when it comes to impact. From the very first meeting with an entrepreneur, they're already asking about the potential impact of the business idea.
So they're not waiting until the end of the project to start thinking about impact. It's part of the conversation from the very beginning.
Exactly. And they even hold workshops with experts to help those entrepreneurs define their impact goals and figure out how to measure progress.
So they're providing support and guidance every step of the way. That's great. What else makes their approach stand out?
They really emphasize stakeholder engagement. They believe it's crucial to involve beneficiaries in the measurement process.
So it's not just about the investors or the experts deciding what matters. It's about listening to the people who are actually being impacted by the project.
Precisely. They want to make sure the metrics they're using are relevant and meaningful to the people they're trying to help.
That makes a lot of sense. The more voices you include in the process, the more likely you are to capture the true impact of your work. Okay, I'm ready for another case study. This next one is intriguing because it shows how even a food market can have a significant social impact. Tell me about Mercato Metropolitano.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're a food market in London, but they go way beyond just selling groceries. They're really tackling food insecurity in their community head on.
Food insecurity, that's a huge issue. What are they doing specifically to address that?
They have this incredible program called Holiday Camp. It provides free meals and activities for kids during school breaks when they might not have access to regular meals.
That's amazing. But it's not just about providing the meals, is it? They're also measuring the impact of the program.
Absolutely. They track things like the number of meals served and the number of kids who participate. But they also go deeper than that.
Deeper? How so?
They gather feedback from the children and families who are involved in the program. They want to understand how the program is affecting their lives, not just in terms of food, but also in terms of their overall well-being.
So they're getting those personal stories and those qualitative insights that really bring the data to life.
Exactly. And they're very transparent about their findings. They believe that sharing their successes and challenges helps others learn and improve.
I love that. Transparency and collaboration are so crucial in this field. Okay, ready for another one. What about Banca Etica?
Oh, they're fascinating. They're a bank in Italy with a unique approach to lending. They incorporate something called social evaluators into their decision-making process.
Social evaluators? I've never heard of that. What is that exactly?
They're volunteers from the community who help assess the social and environmental impact of potential borrowers. It's like having a community advisory board for the bank.
Wow, that's really innovative. So they're bringing in the voices of the people who will be directly affected by the loans. That's a great way to ensure that the bank is making responsible and ethical decisions.
Exactly. It's about considering the broader impact of those financial decisions, not just the financial bottom line.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about 60 Decibels. They're a global impact measurement company, and I'm curious about their approach.
They specialize in gathering data directly from the people a project is meant to impact. They believe that hearing directly from beneficiaries is the best way to understand the true impact of a project.
So they're really focused on getting those firsthand perspectives. What are some of the methods they use to gather that data?
They use a mix of quantitative and qualitative methods. So they might conduct surveys to get a sense of the overall impact, but then also do in-depth interviews to really understand the nuances of people's experiences.
That's great. They're combining those different approaches to get a more complete picture. Do they have any specific examples of how they've applied this approach?
Yeah. One of their most well-known projects is the Farmer Thriving Index.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
It's a way to measure the living standards of farmers within supply chains. It looks at things like their income, their access to education and healthcare, and their overall well-being.
So it's about going beyond just measuring the environmental impact of agriculture and looking at the human side of the equation.
Exactly. It's about understanding how those sustainability efforts are actually impacting the lives of the people who are growing our food.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've looked at investment firms, food markets, banks, and now a dedicated impact measurement company. It's amazing to see the diversity of approaches out there.
It really is. And it shows that impact measurement and management can be applied to so many different sectors and contexts.
Absolutely. Now, for our final case study, let's talk about the Good Economy. They seem to be all about helping organizations navigate this complex world of impact measurement.
They are. They recognize that it can feel overwhelming, especially for organizations that are just starting out on their impact journey.
Yeah, it can definitely be a lot to take in. There are so many different frameworks, tools, and approaches out there. How do they help organizations make sense of it all?
Their main advice is to start simple. Don't try to do everything at once. Focus on identifying your specific needs and then choose the tools and approaches that are most appropriate for your situation.
That's great advice. It's about taking a strategic approach and not trying to boil the ocean.
Exactly. And they also emphasize the importance of picking the right metrics. Not everything needs to be measured directly. Sometimes you can infer outcomes based on other data points.
So it's about being smart about what you measure and making sure your metrics are truly aligned with your goals.
Right. And they also talk about the importance of using data to tell a story.
Ah, storytelling. That's so important for engaging people and making the data come alive.
It is. They encourage organizations to think about the narrative they want to convey with their impact data and to use that data to communicate their impact in a compelling and persuasive way.
That's great advice. Now, stepping back from these specific case studies, what are some of the big picture takeaways for you? What are the key themes that are emerging from all of these examples?
Well, one thing that really stands out is the importance of stakeholder engagement. It's a common thread running through all these examples. Whether it's involving beneficiaries in the measurement process, or working with external experts, or creating community advisory boards like Banca Etica did, it's clear that impact measurement is about more than just numbers.
Yeah, you're right. It's about people, relationships, and making sure your efforts are truly aligned with the needs and priorities of those you're trying to help.
Absolutely. And another key takeaway is the importance of combining quantitative and qualitative data. It's not enough to just count things. You need to understand the why behind those numbers.
Right. Those stories, the experiences, the feedback from the people being impacted, that's where the true understanding of impact comes from.
Exactly. But it's not just about collecting the data. It's about using it to inform decision making and create a culture of continuous improvement.
Yeah. It's about using that data to learn, adapt, and make sure you're actually making a difference.
And beyond data collection, I think the guidelines also do a great job of highlighting the importance of systems thinking.
Systems thinking, right. You mentioned that earlier. Can you remind me what that entails?
Sure. Systems thinking is all about understanding the interconnectedness of things. It's about recognizing that your project doesn't exist in a vacuum.
So it's about seeing the bigger picture.
Exactly. It's about understanding how your actions impact not just your immediate beneficiaries, but also the wider community, the environment, even the economy.
So, for example, a project aimed at improving education in a rural community might also have positive impacts on local health outcomes or economic development.
Exactly. Systems thinking encourages us to consider those broader impacts, both positive and negative, and it helps us avoid those unintended consequences that we talked about earlier.
Right. It's about recognizing that our actions have ripple effects throughout the entire system. Now, speaking of things to watch out for, the guidelines also touch on the issue of impact washing.
Yeah, impact washing. That's essentially when organizations exaggerate or misrepresent their social or environmental impact.
It's like greenwashing, but for social good. What are some red flags to watch out for? How can we avoid falling into that trap?
Transparency is key. It's about being honest about your methodology, being willing to share your data, and being open to scrutiny.
So being upfront about the limitations of your data and the challenges you've encountered along the way.
Exactly. And involving stakeholders in the measurement and reporting process can also help guard against impact washing.
The more eyes you have on the data, the more likely you are to catch any inaccuracies or misrepresentations. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of stakeholder engagement, data collection, systems thinking, and transparency. Is there anything else we should be aware of as we navigate this complex world of impact measurement and management?
One thing that often gets overlooked is the importance of considering the long-term impact of our actions.
That's so important. It's not just about those immediate outcomes, but about the lasting effects of our work.
Exactly. The guidelines talk about the importance of having an exit strategy for your impact.
Mm-hmm.
How do you ensure that the benefits will continue to flow even after you're no longer involved?
Right. It's about creating a legacy that extends beyond the immediate time frame of the project.
It's about building sustainability into every aspect of your work.
Okay. As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to touch on one last point that was highlighted in the guidelines, the importance of knowledge sharing. It's about recognizing that we're all part of a larger movement and that we have a responsibility to share our knowledge and contribute to the collective good.
I couldn't agree more. The impact investing field is still evolving, and we're all learning as we go. By sharing our experiences, both our successes and our failures, we can help each other improve our practices and create a more impactful industry.
It's about creating a culture of collaboration and mutual learning, recognizing that we can all benefit from each other's insights and experiences. Now, as we approach the end of this deep dive, what final thoughts do you want to leave our listeners with?
I think the biggest takeaway is that impact measurement and management is not just about numbers, it's about people. It's about understanding the real-world effects of our actions and using that understanding to create a more just, equitable, and sustainable world. And it's not just for investors and businesses, it's for all of us.
Yeah, we can all apply these principles to our own lives and make a positive difference in the world.
It's an ongoing journey of learning and evolving. We need to be open to new ideas and new ways of thinking about impact. And we need to keep asking ourselves, whose lives are we impacting and how can we make that impact as positive and sustainable as possible?
Those are great questions to ponder. Well, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive today. It's been a fascinating conversation, and I hope our listeners feel inspired to go out there and make a real difference in the world.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Keep learning, keep growing, and keep making a positive impact. We'll be back next time with another deep dive into the world of impact. Until then, stay curious.